everyone. Simba Cotter here, and you are listening to another episode of the MLOps Weekly Podcast. Today, we're going to be diving into a topic that's really, in my opinion, very misunderstood around machine learning, which is the meaning of real-time. So throughout this episode, I'll personally be talking through what people mean when they say real-time, common misconceptions, and in the end, if someone was to tell you to build a real-time machine learning system, you'd be able to break that down, understand what that really means for a specific use case. So let's begin by talking about real-time, how it's used. Real-time means a lot of different things in a lot of different situations. Real-time for machine learning is typically broken down to three slightly related concepts. One is latency. Two is online serving. And three is real-time features. It's a bit circular since people use real-time features as well. So we'll also break that down for this episode. Let's begin by speaking about the first thing I mentioned, which is low latency serving. So when people mention real-time, a lot of the time they're referencing that I can serve quickly in real-time. It doesn't really mean much. It's almost like saying this service is fast. Fast is going to be super relative. A good way to think about this is think about ChatGPT. ChatGPT, you could argue, is a real-time system. When you type chat into it, it responds back in real-time. That said, it's quite slow. For a lot of use cases, it's horrifically slow. If it was a recommendation system, it took a second to respond and give you recommendations, that would be awful. I mean, even me as I use ChatGPT, I will tell it to abbreviate its answers so that it can get things out faster. So that's like a second response rate. There are other situations where, for example, if you are dealing with a credit card transaction and you're doing some form of fraud detection on it, you might actually have a little bit of time because the transaction itself is going to take a moment and there's an implied wait time. Like users aren't counting the milliseconds for something like that. So it might be a little bit slower, which might be fine. You have more latency. You have more of a budget to work with that. And then finally, there are some situations, recommender systems being a really good one, where you really have to move fast. For example, if you open YouTube or any site, Airbnb, that starts with a personalized feed, you want that to show up as fast as possible. And in those situations, the latency is really, really important. You really want to make sure that's low. So I think thinking about your use case, thinking about what the end user, be the person that could be another service, would expect, what is acceptable. A lot of times when I think of that, if someone's like, hey, the system has to be real time, I'll ask about latency and then ask about the budget, the latency budget, and break it down. Because it's not just a model. There's the features, there's the network, there's a lot of things that come into play. And oftentimes, like in the case of a recommender system, it's feeding into something else. So you might have 500 milliseconds to put out a page, but the recommendations have to be down in 200 milliseconds because you need 300 milliseconds to grab the images and do everything else. So that's the first concept of real time, which is latency. The other thing that comes up with real time is the idea of an online model. So to describe what an online model is, I will first define an offline model. An offline model, sometimes called a scoring model or a batch model, runs typically for some set period of time, oftentimes on some time scale, and it works on offline data. Scoring is a really good way to think about this. Let's say that I am going through a list of my user base. I have a database full of my users, and I want to decide who I should give a special offer to, a personalized offer to, like a 20% off offer because I'm e-commerce. I don't need to do that in an online fashion. Like I can just once a day decide who gets what coupons. And so what I'll do is I will spin up my model. I'll essentially loop through the database for each row. I'll make a prediction. And then once I'm done, the model turns off. The benefits here are in situations where you can do this. You don't have to worry about the model is offline for some period of the time, like literally not doing anything for some period of the time. It makes updates easier. If it misbehaves, like it does something weird, it does something wrong, you can always just fix it, run it again, So typically the stakes for something like that are much lower. And so that's an offline setting, an offline model. An online model is a model that, as is implied, is always running. And it is always ready to receive requests from users. So for example, like a recommendation system. At any point in time, the recommendation system might be running and ready to receive a request and be able to do a recommendation. And this is what forms an online model. It's also associated with real-time. Not all real-time models have to be online in the sense of some people might just mean real-time to mean really, really fast. This really low latency, high throughput, just like I can go through my whole database in 5 minutes because it's real-time, even though it's an offline model. Some people very clearly mean that it's an online model when they say real-time. So breaking that down too and breaking down the distinction, it actually can get much more interesting and complicated because you can merge together online and offline models. A good example is recommendation systems, again, where sometimes how systems will work in offline fashion, they will generate candidates. So it's like there's a billion YouTube videos, but I'm going to narrow it down to 10,000 videos that I will ever recommend to this user for whatever time period. So then when I have to do the real-time recommendation, rather than having to work across the whole corpus of billions of videos, I just have to work across 1,000 or 10,000 videos that I think are plenty relevant to them and enough diversity. So you can mix them together. And the reason you would do that is to achieve lower latency typically, so you don't have to process everything at once. Online models don't have to be fast though. For some use cases, it doesn't really matter if they are fast or not. Again, ChatGPT is a great example of this. Like, it's not super fast. It's online, but it's always ready to receive requests, but it could take a bit. This is also true if you had a service, lots of generative services, like generative, anything working with images tends to be, or video rather, tends to be kind of slow because it's a very computationally heavy problem. In those sorts of situations, you'll also see online models that don't have low latency, which means that they are quite slow. The final pillar that is often associated with real-time is what a lot of people just call real-time features. This kind of becomes a whole nother problem, which is you have to define real-time again. And real-time features, there is overlap between like a real-time model. They're not the same. The concepts are slightly different. For a real-time feature, there are two properties that are being referenced. So you can, if someone says real-time feature, it's not useful. It's not descriptive. It doesn't really mean anything. But they're oftentimes talking about two axes. One is also is latency, which is just how fast can I get this feature? And the other is freshness, which is the idea of how old is this feature? When was it created? How stale is the data? The thing is, though, in many situations, to get highly fresh data is slower, which means it will be higher latency. And vice versa, a really easy way to achieve super low latency is to cache everything. But if you cache things, well, by the design of caching, the data will be a little bit out of date. How much out of date is going to depend on the system. But if someone was to tell me that we need a real-time feature here, I would understand why first. Like, what's the goal? Why does this feature have to be real-time? What's the point? And two, are we talking about real-time from the serving perspective or real-time from the freshness perspective? How much latency do we have to serve this feature? And then two, it's not really how old's the data. It's not really a good question. The question is more, how much does this data tend to change? And how dramatically does it change? For example, if I have a feature, which is a user's favorite song in the last year, last 365 days, that's not going to change that often. It will change, for sure. It will change. And especially when the user's new. But after you've been using a platform like Spotify for a year, your top song is not going to change every moment or every minute or every 5 minutes. It probably won't even change every day. It might not change at all for the whole year. So choosing the right time window to process makes it easier to achieve the latency you need and also cuts on compute cost. There are three types of features, and those three types of features have different characteristics around latency and freshness. One type of feature we call a batch feature. A batch feature, as the name implies, is typically run across the full batch of data all at once, typically on some time frame. So they're triggered. They're really easy to build, or nice to build, because they mimic what data scientists are doing in their notebook. When data scientists work in their notebook, they will take either all the data or a sample of data and then kind of process things in batch. And then on the other side of it, it tends to have really low latency because you'll oftentimes batch compute all your features and then cache them in something like Redis or Dynamo. So yeah, those are the two pieces of it. Now, the next type of feature is a streaming feature. Now, a lot of the people associate streaming features with real time. And it makes sense because streaming, unlike batch, has the characteristic. So a streaming feature is a feature where you're processing off of a stream. So you're kind of, as new events come in, you're updating the features as they come in. This means that the latency is going to be low because you're updating a cache constantly. So you have the same sort of latency as you would expect to see in a batch feature. But unlike a batch feature, which tends to run on some time period, the streaming feature is continuously updating features. It's continuously running. In continuously running, it is, again, like updating the cache. And it's keeping it pretty fresh. It's just as long as it takes for the event to get to the stream, go through the stream, be processed by the streaming processor, and then get updated in the cache. That could be quite fast. However, it's not instantaneous. A good way to imagine this is, let's say a user is typing a comment and you want to see if that comment contains hate speech. So you have a model that does that. Well, when the comment comes in, you're likely going to featureize it in some way. You're going to break it down into some features. Now, if you do that with a batch feature, you would have to literally wait for the next batch run to finish, which might be like a day. So it doesn't really make sense for an online use case. But the streaming use case, a lot of people think, well, let's just do it via streaming. The problem with a streaming use case is if you throw it at the front of a stream, it's still going to take a bit to get all the way through, get processed, get updated in the cache. And you essentially have to just wait and keep hitting the cache, waiting for the value to change or waiting for the feature to essentially show up there. It's slow. It could be slow, one. And two, it's just needlessly complicated. It feels needlessly complicated to get a request and then throw that request into a stream, wait for the stream to finish, and then have that return to you the value. You'd rather just run the function right there, right? Like if I had the featureized function, say it's a Python function, why do this whole streaming stuff when I could just run the function at the time of the request? That is the final type of feature. We call them on-demand features, or features that run at request time. So streaming and batch features are pre-processed. So they're kind of running asynchronously of the request and then updating the cache if it gets hit per request. With on-demand features, they are kind of, they're run on each request. And so the nice thing about on-demand features is, in terms of freshness, it's extremely fresh. It's like you're processing the features as they come in. It's about as fresh as you can get. Latency, though, can be an issue because you are no longer caching. You're no longer processing asynchronously. You're processing in line with the request. So it just added on to the latency. So however long that function takes to run is just added to the latency. For certain operations, it might be negligible. For heavy operations, like let's say your on-demand feature runs a SQL query because you need to have the most up-to-date values to be able to run your model on. It's going to take a while to actually run that query to get the data and then to return that data to the model. So on-demand features is the third type of feature. So a lot of people are kind of under this impression, especially around streaming and batch, where you just have to pick one and not the other. In practice, in my opinion, you can use, and I have many examples where people use all three. Some features, like we talked about, they don't require really, really fresh data. Like they don't have to be up to the second. They can be 24 hours old. It might not be a huge deal. In those situations, though, when the data is being processed on whatever time frame that is, you get the super low latency that you might need. And the other really nice thing is the simplicity of it. Batch features are really, really simple, and they really mimic what data scientists are doing in their notebooks anyway. So there's a huge benefit to that, to the simplicity. Streaming, though it has the same latency as batch and is fresher, yeah, like the data is fresher, you might just assume, well, why don't we just always do that? It's just strictly better, it seems. Well, the cost is complexity, because the way you write a streaming feature and the problems that you encounter when dealing with a stream of data are just completely different from the type of problems that you deal with in a batch transforming data, because there's just many more things that can go wrong. Also, unlike batch, which tends to run, you know, it's running on some time period. So let's say you do a batch run and the features are wrong, or your model doesn't do what you thought it was going to do. You could always just rerun it, update the transformation, run it again. With streaming, it's not as easy to just change the feature. It's not really meant or made to do that. And that adds complexity. And then finally, on-demand features. On-demand features are pretty much a necessity in a lot of situations. You just have situations where the data you need to create your features comes at the request. In those situations, you need an on-demand feature. You also don't need to, you can, and many times you will use an on-demand feature along with a pre-processed feature. For example, if I want to generate a feature, which is, let's say I am getting transactions, like I am doing fraud, and my feature is what percent of the user's balance does this transaction make up? So if the user has $1,000 in their bank account and they're spending $100, maybe it's more likely to be fraud. So that percentage is a feature, but the transaction amount I get with the request, but the balance I can pre-process. So the balance feature might be pre-processed, and then it might be processed in batch even. It could be processed in streaming. And then the transaction amount I get with the on-demand feature, and the on-demand feature will join them together and do the division and return the answer. So those are the three types of features, and they all have different characteristics when it comes to freshness and latency. They fit together. I mean, features feed into models. So they kind of feed together. All these components, the latency of the model, is the model online or offline? For each feature, what is the latency we need from that feature serve? And how fresh does that data need to be? If you answer all those questions for all the features and the model, you can really define what real time means for your use case. Because what real time means for you and your use case is going to be completely different from what it means to another use case. And to do it correctly, you just have to think about it in context. Even the features. If I have one feature that has super low latency, but the one next to it has super high latency, then it doesn't really matter because the model needs all those features to start anyway. Freshness can vary per feature, and it's really going to depend on what kind of feature it is. The main takeaway I want people to get is when you're asked to build a real-time ML system, here's how you break it down, and here's how you come up with an actual game plan that makes sense for your specific use case. And you aren't just like doing streaming for the sake of it because you think that's a good idea because someone said real time. So I hope this is insightful. Let us know what you think of this new format where just be talking. We'll definitely be throwing in interviews along with this as well. Thanks for listening.